This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu salam ala Rasulihil Kareem wa ba'd. Brothers, elders, sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Today, inshallah, I want to focus and speak upon or regarding a very eminent sahabi, radiyallahu anhu, and his name was Al-Jundub bin, or Jundub al-Junada, yeah? Jundub al-Junada. Now you're thinking, who is this sahabi? If he's a very eminent, very renowned sahabi, who is Jundub al-Junada? Jundub al-Junada is better known as Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, radiyallahu anhu. His kunya was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anybody wants to see the zuhud, the abstinence from the dunya of Isa alayhi salatu salam, then he should look at Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. Even in his days of jahiliyyah, Abu Dharr never worshipped idols. He had this dislike for the worship of idols. He was always seeking the truth. So when he heard about that the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come, he sent his brother Anis to go to Makkah and check this person out. So his brother, he goes to Makkah, he stays in Makkah for a few days, he's watching the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he goes back to Abu Dharr, and Abu Dharr said, what did you find? He said, I found a man who recites this beautiful kalam, and I don't think it's poetry. And I also saw that he teaches some very good things, good characteristics. But this wasn't enough for Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. He wanted to know more. So then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu goes to Mecca. His brother told him, they know this man as Sabi. Sabi means a person who has left the religion of his forefathers. So he goes, and he goes to the Kaaba, and he asks somebody, he said, where is this man you called Sabi? So this man, now obviously they disliked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they disliked anybody coming to ask about him and anybody interested in his da'wah. So what they do is that they beat Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. So now Abu Dharr is very careful. So he stays around the Kaaba, waiting to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Ali sees this man. And Ali was a young boy at the time. So Ali radiallahu anhu says to him, do you have a place to stay? He says, no. He said, let me take you to my father's house. So he takes him to his father's house, Abu Talib's house, and he stays in the house of Abu Talib. Next day, he's again by the Kaaba. Ali radiallahu anhu takes him again to his house. Third day, he again by the Kaaba. And after the third day, on the fourth day, Ali radiallahu anhu sees him again and he says, look, 3 days, is there something specific you're looking for? Now, the Muslims are always looking to give dawah anyway. He said, yes, but this is between me and you, don't tell anybody. I'm looking for the man they call Sabi. So he said, follow me and stay at a distance. Don't come too close. And wherever you see me stop, you stop. So he follows him and he takes him to the house Darul Arqam. Darul Arqam was the first madarsa, you could say, in the history of Islam. It was by the foot of the mountain of Safa. So he goes into the house. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu follows him into the house. And there he meets the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him da'wah and he embraced Islam. And then the Messenger of Allah said, which tribe are you from? He said, Al-Ghifar. And the Messenger of Allah said, Al-Ghifar? Why? Because the Al-Ghifar were known to be bandits. You know, they were known to, they resided somewhere between Mecca and Medina. And any caravan which went past them, they would try to rob it. So the Messenger of Allah said, Al-Ghifar? He said, yes. And then the Messenger of Allah says, Allah guides whoever he wishes. And this is the ajeeb thing about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we have those who have the worst of characteristics once upon a time, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them and they become the best of people. Look at Umar ibn Khattab. They would say regarding Umar, there's more chance of his father's donkey embracing Islam than this man embracing Islam. Arch enemy of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar, la ilaha illallah, didn't only embrace Islam, he becomes Amir al-Mu'mineen. Look at Khalid bin Walid. Literally every single battle, if you study the life of Khalid bin Walid, literally every battle, he had one responsibility, and that was to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Khalid bin Walid's responsibility. And then Khalid from Aduwullah becomes Saifullah. From the enemy of Allah, he becomes the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, you know, we see people today, and we see that, you know, they're up to nonsense, and it's a responsibility to enjoin good and forbid evil. It's our responsibility. If we see somebody do something wrong, you know, we need to address it. And if it needs for us to speak out about it, we need to speak out about it. But it's a strong possibility that very same person who is doing that nonsense today may be on the deen, may be better than us tomorrow. Maybe on the day of judgment, subhanAllah, this person may be ahead of us. And that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So Abu Dharr says to the Messenger of Allah, he said, Messenger of Allah, give me permission to give da'wah. So the Prophet ﷺ was cautious because the Muslims were only a handful. Actually, according to some narrations, that Abu Dharr was the fifth person to embrace Islam. Fifth person. So the Prophet ﷺ reluctantly allows him. So he stands by the Kaaba. He says, oh, people of Makkah, people of Quraysh, come to me, listen to my qawl. So they gather around him and then he gives them da'wah towards Islam. They began to beat him and beat him until the Prophet's uncle Abbas came. He wasn't a Muslim at that time. And he stopped them. And he said, don't kill this man. He belongs to the tribe of Ghifar. He said, at the best of times, it's difficult to get past Ghifar. When your caravan goes to Syria, you think the Ghifar are going to allow you to pass without robbing your caravan if you kill one of their people? So Abu Dharr then goes, he's beaten. Next morning, he's back again. Dawah is at the Kaaba. According to many historians, the first person to give open dawah is Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Again, they beat him. And again, Abbas radiallahu anhu comes and he intervenes. So then the Messenger of Allah called him and he said, Abu Dharr, go to your people and call them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at this. Fifth person to embrace Islam, Abu Dharr, disappears. The entirety of the Meccan period, there is no sign of Abu Dharr. 13 years, no sign of Abu Dharr. Hijrah, no sign of Abu Dharr. Badr, no sign of Abu Dharr. Uhud, no sign of Abu Dharr. Khandaq, fifth year of Hijrah, Khandaq, no sign of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. And then one day, the people of Makkah hear this huge rush of horses and camels coming towards Medina. And they rush out because they think there's an army about to attack Medina. And who is it? Abu Dharr. But not just Abu Dharr. The entirety of his tribe, the Bani al-Ghifar, embraced Islam. And he said, oh, Messenger of Allah, here's the Ghifar, every single one of the Ghifar. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ghafar Allahu lahum. May Allah forgive the entirety of Ghifar. And he said, not only that, the Messenger of Allah, you see on the other side? This is the Bani Aslam, huge tribe. The entirety of the Bani Aslam embraced Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Salamahumullah, Allah keep the Bani Aslam intact. Look at this, subhanAllah, disappeared for years. came back with the entire tribe embracing Islam. Shortly after this, we had the Battle of Tabuk. The Battle of Tabuk, to give you a background, was where the Muslims were going to encounter the Christians in north, the Byzantines and the Arab Christians. It was midsummer. The Muslims just had a famine. It was time to now harvest the crops. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba, we're going 600 kilometers plus. Forget the famine, forget the harvest. So many of the munafiqeen would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they would say, oh Messenger of Allah, you know, we got this excuse and we got this excuse. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would leave them. It was summer. So then when they left, many of the munafiqeen, whilst they are traveling, they find it too hot. So every night, some of them would slip away. They said, this is too tough for us. So the Prophet ﷺ in the morning would be told, so-and-so is left, O Messenger of Allah, so-and-so is left, so-and-so is left. The Prophet ﷺ said, if there's khair in him, he will join us. And then one morning, they say, O Messenger of Allah, Abu Dharr's gone. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if there's khair in Abu Dharr, he will join us. So they'd leave. After a day or two, the Muslims are camped and in the distance they see a man walking. And he's walking and he's falling to one side and he's falling to the other side. And the Prophet ﷺ looks and he said, Kun Abu Dharr. He said, oh Allah, allow it to be Abu Dharr. And he comes closer and closer and the Messenger of Allah recognizes him. It's Abu Dharr. And the Prophet ﷺ then on that occasion he said regarding Abu Dharr, he said, Yamshi wahda, wa yamutu wahda, wa yub'atha yawm al-qiyamati wahda. He said, Abu Dharr, in this dunya he walks by himself. In this dunya, he walks by himself. The man will die by himself. And then a day will come, he will be resurrected on the day of judgment all by himself. Abu Dharr was very beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was passing away, he took the hand of Abu Dharr and he placed it on his chest. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Abu Dharr some amazing nasihas, and I'm going to go through some of the nasihas that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave. Seven nasihas he gave to Abu Dharr. Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu says, "Qala amarani khalili bi sab'in." My beloved Khalil, my friend, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded me with seven things. Amarani bi hubbil masakini wa dunuwi minhum. He told me, love the poor people and remain in their company. Love the poor people and remain in their company. Abu Dharr, wallahi, out of all the Sahaba, was the champion of the masakin. The masakin loved Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. Wa amarani an anzura ila man huwa duni, wala anzuru ila man huwa fawqi. The Messenger of Allah, and this is such a beautiful nasiha. He said, the Messenger of Allah told me to look at those who are below me and never look at those who are above me in dunya. Because as long as you look at those who are below you, you will be in a state and in a state of contentment. And as long as you look at those who are above you, because there will always be people who will have more dunya than you, you will never be content. Why do you think so many people today especially have mental health issues? Why? Because you got social media. And you got social media and then somebody posts something, oh, I'm on a holiday with my husband and with my children. Oh, I'm eating in Kobe. Tick, tick. Yeah? Oh, and the first thing people now do, so honestly, so fake. You go to a restaurant, the first thing you do is you take a picture. I'm here. The reason you're here, not all the case, the reason you're there, especially if you're our age, is because your wife didn't cook for you. That's why you're there. But people have become, wallahi, so fake. But then there's somebody, sada like me, on social media looking at it. Oh, Kobe. I wish I could go Kobe. Oh, what amazing sister. Look, you know, sisters look at other sisters and how pretty she is. You know, I don't look like that. She may be pretty, but one of the reasons she's pretty is because she's used filters. She's put makeup. She's taken 50 pictures, and this came out the best. Why? Because we look at those who are above us and not those who are beneath us. And when you look at those who are above you, you always salivate. You're never content. So the Messenger of Allah said, Abu Dharr, look at those who are below you. Look at those who don't have anything. Look at those children. You know, a while ago, I was in Pakistan and I went to Islamabad. And in Islamabad, by F11, which is the most expensive areas in Islamabad, over £1,000 just to rent a house. Right across the road, there's what they call Khana Badosh people, who live in tents. 40 years these people have lived in tents. Many Afghani refugees, many from up north, actually many even Punjabis. I went to a school. The school was about, the classroom was this big. There was not an inch place for a student to move. But the problem is that because we're always looking at those who are above us and not at those who are beneath us. And I was thinking to myself, you know, these people needed to be helped. And what happens is when I spoke to the Pakistanis, some of the Pakistanis, not all of them, said, now, what do you help these people? They deserve it. They're like this. 40 years, they have remained in those places. I said to the guy, I said, don't you think they have aspirations for their children like you have aspirations for your children? I said, don't you think they would like electricity and running water? Don't you think that they would like to live in F11 like you live? You'll live across the road from them. I said, even if you say it's the fault of the parents, I said, let me ask you a question. What fault is it of those children? But see, this is how we live our life. We're always looking at those who are above us, and we respect those who are above us, those who got a bigger, more money than us, a bigger house than us. And we never have compassion for those who are beneath us. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa amitni miskinan wa hashurni fi zumrat al-masakin yawm al-qiyamah. He said, oh Allah, as long as you keep me alive in poverty. He chose poverty. There's two types of poverty. One is poverty that you don't choose. That's one which is no good. That's the one the Messenger of Allah sought refuge from. The second is where you choose poverty. The Prophet ﷺ chose poverty for himself. And this is why when Sufyan al-Thawri, when a poor man would enter his gathering, the greatest muhaddith of his time, he would stand up. And he said, the Messenger of Allah chose the position of this individual. Allahumma ahyini miskinan wa amitni miskinan. Oh Allah, when I die, give me death in poverty. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the day the Messenger of Allah died, we didn't have oil to be burnt in the lantern. وَحْشُرْنِي فِي زُمْرَةِ الْمَسَاكِينِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And oh Allah, resurrect me with the poor people on the day of judgment. The ulama said, look at this. The Messenger of Allah didn't say, oh Allah, resurrect the poor people with me. He said, oh Allah, resurrect me with the poor people. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah said that the poor people will go into Jannah 500 years before the rich people, because they have less to answer for in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has given you wealth, may Allah give you more. There's nothing wrong with wealth. Abdurrahman ibn Auf left $21 million when he left this dunya. We know Uthman ibn Affan. But the thing is that there should be a compassion in the heart for those who have less for you than you. And you should never be looking up to people who have more than you. Never. Wallahi, the most, and I see this, one of the most detestable people are those people who suck up to other people because they have more wealth than them or they have more status than them. I'll tell you why it's despicable, because it's a reflection of your own sick self. That you will respect people because they got money, that they got status. The Messenger of Allah told Abu Dharr seven things. بِحُبِّ الْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْدُنُوِّ مِنْهُمْ. And he told him, وَلَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقَكَ. He said, do not look at the one who are above you, but look at those who are beneath you. And then he said to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَصِلَ الرَّحِمْ وَإِنْ أَدْبَرَتْ. He said, Messenger of Allah told me to reconcile ties. This is beautiful. Reconcile ties were in adbarat, even if your family members turn away from you. Now this is the kamal, isn't it? It's easy to be good to people who are good to you. But it's more difficult that family member who shuns you, that family member who doesn't give you time, who never rings you, you pick up the phone and you ring that person and say, how are you? How's your day been? And this is the teaching of the deen. The teaching of the deen to attain Jannah is not cheap. Those family members who don't give you the time, when you go to Bangladesh, Somalia, Pakistan, and you go to visit all your rich relatives, but you never go to visit those relatives who have nothing. And you know what I'm speaking about. You got no time because they got no status in society, because by your criteria, is wealth is everything. The Messenger of Allah said, reconcile ties even if they turn away from you. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah elongates the life of that person who reconciles ties. Allah will elongate your life, make your life longer. If you are destined to live 40 years, Allah increases that life. And then he says that the Messenger of Allah said, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ لَا أَسَلَ أَحَدٍ. That the Messenger of Allah told me, don't ask anybody for anything. وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَقُولَ الْحَقِّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّ. And he commanded me, listen Abu Dharr, speak the truth even if people find it bitter. No Allahi, there was anyone amongst the Sahaba who spoke the truth. Everybody disagreed with Abu Dharr on certain things, but he spoke the truth even if people disliked it. He confronted Muawiyah, he confronted Uthman radiallahu anhum, and he spoke what he believed to be the truth, even if those people found it bitter. وَأَمَرَنِي أَلَّا أَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And the Messenger of Allah said to me, O Abu Dharr, listen, do not fear what people will say about you. La ilaha illallah. So speak the truth and never give a damn about what people will say about you. You know, we spend our life, honestly, we spend our life worried about what people think about us. And I ask you, and I'm saying this in an Islamic perspective, not what's called a dunyawi perspective. Now you think, yeah, Sheikh is saying, I should do whatever I want with my life. Yeah? You know, yeah, YOLO. You only live once, Asad. You only live once. I'm saying in a dunyawi, a dini perspective. If honestly, you are gonna die tomorrow, okay? How many things in your life you would have wanted to do, but you didn't do because you were too worried about what people would say? And if death was to befall you tomorrow, wallah, you would think to yourself, you know, I wish I'd done this, and I wish I'd done this, but then it's too late. Don't care about people. You know why? Because people are never pleased. You can never please the people. They will say, yeah, Zaheer Mahmood's a good person, but, you know the Mr. But? Sami is a good guy, but. There's always a but. Because people, as I mentioned before, need to put you down to feel good about themselves. That is the nature of many people. For their own reassurance, they have to live off your failures. So, do not allow what people say to stop you from doing what is good. And then the last thing he says, that the Messenger of Allah, وَأَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُكْثِرَ بِقَوْلِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Messenger of Allah commanded me that I recite لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ profusely. فَإِنَّهُنَّ كَنْزٌ مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَرْشِ. Because it's a treasure under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ profusely, because it's a treasure under the arch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be amongst those who are not fake, that those who are not shallow, that we have a compassion and care for other individuals, and we are amongst those who reconcile ties. We are people who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf, the Sahaba ridwanullah jama'een. Inshallah, Allah willing, next week I will carry on with the life of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and also that we make the Sahaba our inspiration, and we make them the inspiration for our children, that we tell our children about people like Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu and the beautiful teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.